For the guys at home, you know, you're speaking to an American when you hear that term, camaraderie. It's come what?
Camaraderie.
Yeah, that's not a term.
Unity.
That's not a term we'd use in Kenya. Like, you know, there are those like very things, those things that I hear and I know I'm talking to an American. So that's one of them. The same way, if you come to Kenya, there's the bullshit you'll hear politicians saying. Politicians say, what? They say that I want to you dismiss that in no uncertain terms. I would not. Oh, there's this bullshit talk. Ekonene.
Ekonene.
Yes. Na kama unashindwa kwa nini ana sound hivyo ni juu. Anaelewa Kiswahili? You understand Swahili, eh?
Kidogo.
But you can't speak it.
Yeah.
Yes, yes. So, tuko na Gendi. So Gendi is a Kenyan born American. I know. Yes. She's an American born Kenyan or a Kenyan American.
Yeah, Kenyan American.
Yes, a Kenyan American, you know. So that's why I'm saying you're American born Kenyan. You know, because we still claim
born in America, Kenyan blood throughout.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So your parents are from which part of Kenya?
My dad's Kisii and my mom is Luhya.
Luhya. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's a wild combination, eh? So what do you know about the Kisis and the Luhyas? The stereotypes, have you heard?
Kisis, we love bananas.
Okay. Yeah.
Luhyas, chicken and tea.
Oh, yeah, chicken and tea. Yeah, there's that. Like, yeah. That one stays. And then nowadays it's evolved. It's Luhyas love eating.
Yeah.
They say that shit. So they even use, like, you know the politician Mudavadi?
No, I've heard of him, but I don't know him.
So there's Mudavadi and there's Wetangula. Mm. So you'll see, like, people write, they'll put them, like, they'll create a meme with them and then write, Huyukama Meshiba Hasumbui. Like, when his stomach is full, he causes no problems. Mm. That's just to say that Luhyas love eating.
They do. Yeah.
But then there's the Kisii stereotype of anger. Have you ever had that?
Not necessarily anger, but more so Kisis are more conserved.
Yeah.
And Luhyas are more free spirited.
Oh, okay. Mm. Yeah. I've never had that. But yeah, there's always the theory of Kisis are angry. I've interacted with more Kisis than any other tribe here in America, and they were not that angry. I don't know. I guess maybe poverty makes you angry.
Poverty makes anyone angry. But just from my experience with family members and who I've been around, Kisis are definitely more conservative, especially if they're SDAs.
Yeah.
And Luhyas that I've met and family members of mine back home, they're more free-spirited.
Okay, okay. So your dad is the one who's Kisii?
Yes.
But your mom is Luhya?
Yes.
So which parts of... you've visited both parts?
Yes.
Like, so which part in Kisii? Nyamira?
Yeah.
Nyansiango.
Huh? Nyansiango.
Nyansiango.
Mm.
And
my mom is in Bunyore.
Bunyore. Okay. Mm. Can you speak the languages? Like Kisii and...
I speak a little bit of Kisii.
Yeah.
I understand more Kisii than Luhya.
Mm.
But there's certain catchphrases in Luhya that if someone is saying something, I'll hear it.
Yeah.
Mm.
Oh, okay. So you've been... the first time you visited Kenya, how old were you?
I was 3 years old.
You're three?
Yes.
How did it look? Or you can't remember it?
No, I actually remember a lot.
Mm.
So we just went to visit for Christmas and New Year's.
Yeah.
It was very green.
Mm.
They considered me one of the kids in the village. They actually didn't know that I was from the States until I opened my mouth.
Okay.
I was outside with all of my cousins and all of my aunties and uncles.
Mm.
And then the only reason why they knew who I was is because I was speaking English.
Oh, okay.
So actually one of my cousins, when I left, she learned English when I left because we couldn't communicate.
Oh, okay.
So when I left, she was in my grandfather's library and learned English. But that was the only way they could tell that I wasn't from there. I was from there, but born here.
Okay. Mm. So did you hear gaki gaki?
Oh, every time.
Yeah.
Or moana if I was visiting my mom's side. So I heard those very clearly.
Mm. And so there's another kid I was talking to. Like he's also the same thing as you. Like he was born here to Kenyan parents.
Mm.
And we were talking about the term youth and what the ages that are considered youth in America. And they said very interesting things. So I'm not going to tell you the ages they said.
Okay.
So I want to hear what you say. Who's considered a youth in America? It's from what age to what age? Or from your experience? Forget about the Kenyan side. The American side.
The American side, anything under 40 is youth.
Okay.
Mm.
Okay, because what they said, I interviewed two kids in quotes. Yeah? So one said... 12 to 24.
Mm-hmm.
Another one said 13 to 17.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
And say that as soon as you're an adult, you're no longer a youth.
Oh, wow. That's interesting.
So I think you've been influenced by the Kenyan side.
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
Everything in my house was Kenyan.
Mm.
Everything outside of the house was an American experience.
Yeah, yeah,
so every time I go back home, people are shocked. They're like, ah, you act like a Kenyan. I'm like, well, yeah, I'm Kenyan.
Yeah.
But they expect you to carry on as Americans that they see on, you know, the internet and people that they may have interacted with if they've been to school with them. But my parents made sure that we had the core foundations of how we would be if we were raised back home and born back home.
Okay, okay. Because the reason why I'm asking you this is I feel like because of that term youth, Kenyans take a lot of time to mature and be like become adults.
Absolutely.
So when's the first time you started earning, like the first job that you ever got, at what age?
I was 15 years old.
You're 15?
Yes.
So you've been working since you're 15?
Yes.
Do you know that a lot of Kenyans start working after 24?
Yes.
That's 9 years later.
Yeah.
How are we supposed to compete with a kid who started at 15 and is starting 9 years later? Why? Because you've been lied to that you're young. You've been lied to that you're youth. You see why I find that? Yeah, so at 15, what were you doing?
I was working in a fast food restaurant. It's called Dairy Queen.
Okay.
So they sell hot foods and ice creams and milkshakes. So it's a very popular restaurant here, especially in the summertime. So I was working there. I think I worked there until I even graduated college because it was close to the house. They were good with my schedule, but that was one of my first jobs. And I would be in retail and then start working at my university. But that was my very first job.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Actually, the owner built the neighborhood that I lived in.
Oh.
So when he saw my address, he hired me immediately.
So how much were you earning per hour?
Oh my gosh, do I even remember? I was 15. 15 years ago.
Yeah.
I think it was $10 an hour.
Oh, $10 an hour. Shit, that's in 2000 and what? 2009?
No, 15 years ago was...
Yeah, 2009 or 2010.
Yeah, 2010.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. So you're earning that. How what was your saving culture? What were you doing with your money at 15? Like, you used to work how many hours per week?
And when you're 14, between 14 and 15, I think you're legally only allowed to work 20 hours.
Okay.
So I started working 15 going on 16 years. So 15, it was 20 hours. But once I hit 16, I was working as many hours as possible. So during the school year, I would work the night shifts, which I think were like from 4 until 10, or maybe even 11 during the summertime.
Okay, okay.
And then when it was summer, I would work either the morning or evening shifts, but I would work 6 days a week just to keep money, because there was a point where you start asking your parents for things and you're like, oh, go make your own money. So for me, I wanted to have my own so people would stop telling me no.
Yeah.
That was just me. But that's what I'm saying as far as people back home being coddled in a way of, oh, you're young, you still have so much ahead of you. In America, you grow up so fast, and it's about circumstance. And I'm blessed to have parents that had me in an environment where I could thrive and be who I wanted to be, but also they pushed me to be independent and not rely on anyone either, which is why I was driven to start working so young.
So have you ever voted?
Yes.
Voted in how many elections? This one or main? Because in America, it's every 4 years, yeah?
Yes. So this one that's coming up would be my...
Second or third?
I think it would be my third.
Okay.
Because I voted when Obama was going against... it wasn't the first term.
It was Romney?
Was it Romney?
Who? The guy who died. What was his name?
No, it wasn't McCain.
John something.
John McCain, no.
Yeah.
I was still too young. It was the second time around. That's when I was able
Romney
to vote
was the
him.
Second, yeah?
I believe so, yes.
Okay, okay. Yeah. Oh, so you voted that time.
Mm-hmm.
Then you voted Trump, Hillary.
I voted for Hillary.
Yes, and then you voted in this last one. So, like, when these people are talking to the youth, the young people, what do they promise them? Because this is where I normally conflict with Kenyans.
Student loans. They promise student loan debt. And what a lot of people don't realize, and also a lot of people, whether you're Kenyan or wherever culture you come from, there is so much financial illiteracy. And everything starts at home.
Yeah.
So a lot of people, they can't necessarily afford to go to college, but their parents are pushing them to be in a better environment to further their education.
Yeah.
And while doing so, and you're not financially equipped, you borrow money from the government, which you end up owing with interest when you finish school, which is why a lot of people even move up to get master's, PhDs, so they can keep deferring until they can start making money to start paying back.
Yeah.
But even when you start paying back, when that interest comes in, it's hard to decrease it. So
the interest rate is around how much?
Oh, I don't even know.
Okay.
It always changes.
Yeah.
It always changes. So it always, it's conflicting and it's confusing and it's inconsistent.
Yeah.
So it's hard to keep up.
And this money is owed to the government or the banks?
I believe it's the government.
Yeah, because I see like the government forgave debt. Like Biden forgave debt. So did you have any debt?
I did for my undergraduate degree.
So when they say Biden forgave that debt, what happened? Like right now you don't have debt, or you still have debt but it's lower?
It's lower.
Mm.
Yeah. But what they do is with Biden's relief, they send you an email and they say that everything is completely for. Forgiven and paid for.
So now you have zero debt. So if you had zero debt,
from
now you're
your,
good.
From your mouth to God's ears. I'm praying for it to be that one. I'm praying to be one of those people.
No, I'm saying like for the people who got the email.
Oh, yes.
So you've not gotten the email?
No.
So not everyone gets the email?
No, not everyone. They choose. Yeah, they choose.
Not
so there's certain people that literally would get the email and they say your student loans have been forgiven.
Mm.
And they show you the receipt and it'll say zero. So even if you owe like $70,000, receipt is zero if you were chosen. So now they're doing that roundup again, I think, in about a couple of months. So people are begging and pleading and praying to God, like, please, let it be me.
Yeah.
Because it's so hard right now. Because
I thought like they were like, this is everyone who owes.
Mm-mm.
So now 50% has been paid for. Now pay the rest.
It's a certain percentage of people. So they're choosing. I don't know if they're doing it randomly or they're selecting people, but it's not everyone, unfortunately.
Okay. So that's one of the things that they'll be promised. That's student debt. Another thing that young people are promised during voting period.
My goodness, what else are we?
Because I'm saying this because I need the few young people who are Chikon in it to understand like why you should never allow a politician to treat you like a child. Because this is what's happening. Like, the Nairobi governor promised young people that he was going to build a mobile studio so that they can record music. And I was like, that's some damn shit. Like,
you can just record in your house.
Yeah, you can record in your house. You can use
your
phone.
You get your own
equipment. Yeah. So that, to me, is a corruption opportunity. He sees an opportunity where he can make a lot of money through these bullshit studios. And people are just going to be, we are young. Let's try and sing. Yeah. Not everyone can sing. Just because you're young,
it's
does
true.
Not mean you can sing. You know.
You can hold the note, but you can't necessarily sing full throttle.
Yeah.
No, what else are they promising us? They're promising us more affordable renting and housing.
Okay.
Because inflation has brought up so much, including food. But everything is lies. Everything is lies. Those are the top two that I can think off head. But there's so many other things as far as helping with homelessness. Helping with certain child care and education. And people I know who have kids, when they take their kids to daycare, almost maybe $22,000 a year.
Yeah.
And, you know, some people can't afford to have one parent at home with the child, so you have no other choice unless you have relatives that are willing to step in. So, yeah, we're just being fed lies. So I think that's pretty much universal, whether you're in the U.S. of A or Kenya.
Yeah, but at least here you're being fed lies around adult subjects.
Yes.
You know, you're being told you're going to forgive your debt. We are going to make your life easier through pushing down the price of what? But Kenya, it's normally, this is what they're going to do. They're going to talk to the adults and be like, yes, we are creating, we are building houses for you. But then the youth, you use your talent. We are going to build studios for you. I'm like, how many studios are you going to build?
You know what
and
it
who's
is
going
too?
To run these studios? And how these artists supposed to survive? Is there supposed to be a line? Like, you know, so that's the bullshit that I don't like. And then I was talking to Kimathi. So as I said, Kimathi is also born to Kenyan parents. Yeah? And he was saying that the problem about being an African born in America is that no one thinks you're American enough. Yeah. The African Americans don't think you're American enough.
Yes.
And of course, white people don't think you're white. So, and Africans on the other side don't think you're African. So you're lost in between where you're not accepted fully by anyone. So how's that?
So for me, luckily I had friends who came from like Caribbean cultures or other African cultures who dealt with the same thing.
Yeah.
I even had some African-American friends who were supportive in my identity crisis.
Yeah.
Because there were some people, because English is my primary language, that's the first language I learned.
Mm.
Because I wasn't speaking in Swahili or Ekebusi or Luya, I wasn't Kenyan enough.
Yeah.
And I would tell people, but I am Kenyan. Mm. I have the same blood running through my veins as you. I come from the same country as you.
Mm.
Like, oh, well, you weren't born there and you don't speak like us. You don't look like us.
Mm.
I'm like, I do look like you.
Yeah.
Even some people wouldn't even consider me Kenyan until they see my parents and hear them talk. Like, oh, you look Kenyan.
Mm.
But if I'm there by myself, they're like, no, you don't look Kenyan. I'm like, what is a Kenyan supposed to look like exactly?
Mm. Mm.
As far as not being African American enough, if people were being rude to me, I would say, well, at least I know where I come from.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people here are displaced. Even when we all come from Africa, no matter what country it is, like we all came from there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So when you're young, you have that identity crisis in a sense of where do I belong? And there was a point where I told people, well, I'm proud to be an African-American because there's so much culture and pride and strength in the people who are here, no matter where they come from. And I'm definitely proud to be Kenyan.
Yeah.
That's my blood. That's who I am.
Mm.
Like, I have very strong names. I have very strong family members and very strong morals.
Yeah.
So there was a point where I had to take it all in and be like, I'm proud to be both because that's what I am.
Mm.
I'm Kenyan here. And I am African American, and I tell people back home all the time, if a cop is to stop you at a stoplight, they do not care that you are from Kenya.
Yeah.
They see the color of your skin, and they are calling you the N-word automatically.
Mm-hmm.
So I think with the division that we have as the diaspora needs to stop, because people who are not like us don't care where we come from.
Yeah.
They just see skin color. For us, we separate ourselves by tribes and by countries.
Yeah.
And not that it doesn't matter, but in the big retrospect of everything, the masses don't care.
Mm-hmm.
So,
but this is the funny thing that I've noticed, that I can actually tell, not all, but I can tell Africans. When I'm here, I can be like, that's one of us.
The features, the nose,
yes,
the lips.
The features, the nose. Then there's the dressing.
Yes.
Where you find, like, I saw someone with, we call them slippers. I don't know what you call them. We call them flip-flops.
Mm-hmm.
Like, in the middle of DC, I was like, this is one of us. I was nearly like, what kind of... I didn't even know how to react. So there's that shit where we stand out in our own way. I don't know if that helps.
But we embrace each other, too. That's the thing. Yeah. When you see a fellow African, even if they're from a different country, and you introduce yourself, it's that camaraderie of, oh, my brother, my sister, how are you?
Yeah.
Like, we're instantly embracing each other because we're literally all going through the same struggles, especially first generations like myself.
Yeah.
So when you see someone else, like, from a different country, you're just like, what's going on? Like, you get to know each other. You get to learn things about someone else's culture. You get to feed each other if you guys become close, you know, meet each other's families. So it's a beautiful thing, I can say.
Yeah. And for the guys at home, you know, you're speaking to an American when you hear that term camaraderie. It's what?
Camaraderie.
Yeah, that's not a term.
Unity.
That's not a term we'd use in Kenya. Like, you know, there are those like very things, those things that I hear and I know I'm talking to an American. So that's one of them. The same way, if you come to Kenya, there's the bullshit you'll hear politicians saying. Politicians say what? They say that I want to you dismiss that in no uncertain terms. I would not. Oh, there's this bullshit of I want to whatever without fear of contradiction. That's like the most Kenyan shit. Do people say use that phrase in America without fear of contradiction? Without fear of contradiction.
I haven't heard that until you said it.
It's the most Kenyan shit. Like, you hear that. And then there's another thing that we say. So, yeah. So that's camaraderie. When I hear it, I can't even say it. How is it spelled?
Oh, my goodness.
I'm sorry. Like, I did this shit with Kimathi still. Like, when I hear a very American thing.
Camaraderie. I believe it's C-O-M-R-O-D-I-T-Y.
Okay, shit. Damn.
I'm praying I spelled it correctly.
And it means?
Unity.
Unity.
Coming together.
Yeah. Mm. Sometimes I feel like America has some bullshit, like where something is so simple, but it's made hard here.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, for example, we've been getting used to the LB, like pounds. Why is a pound LB? What is this LB supposed to be? I'm sorry, I've taken you the mathematical.
No,
this
no,
is the Konini. We go everywhere.
No, you're fine. But even I used to ask that same question because I'm like, there's no L or B in the word pound.
Mm.
So I always used to ask that same question. Why is it the initials LB?
Mm.
So I actually don't know why they do that.
Yeah. And then you have the metric system. So we use, like, the rest of the world uses the metric system. Yep. I think even Mexico. Mexico uses what?
I think it's also metric.
Yeah, metric, yeah? Kilometers.
Mm-hmm.
So here it's miles.
Mm-hmm.
But now if you love mathematics, miles is interesting. Because every time I see, I'm like 65 miles times 1.6, that's 65 plus 39, that's 104. Let's go. Mm-hmm. So now you can. But if you don't love maths and you're from Africa, you're like, shit, 65 miles, what do they mean? Mm-hmm. Now you think it's 65 kilometers. You're moving at 100, mm-hmm. but you think it's...
Especially when you're thinking about temperature.
Yeah.
Because back home, it's Celsius. Over here, we use Fahrenheit.
Fahrenheit, yeah, yeah.
So sometimes my cousins would ask me, oh, so how many degrees is it?
You're like,
degrees
90.
Celsius in America right now. So I would have to convert online. Because sometimes the mental math, you can't even think about it. Because they teach you that so young and they don't necessarily...
Keep pushing it.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
They're like, oh, let's just do this. And I'm like, the whole world is doing this, so why are we doing this?
Mm.
America is very weird.
Yeah, but it's what makes it unique.
Mm.
And like another thing that I've noticed is you go everywhere and you see this now hiring signs. So is there a period where you can walk through the whole city and not see a single now hiring sign?
No, especially since COVID hit.
Mm.
Now a lot of people are demanding more because supply and demand.
Yeah.
A lot of people want more money for the work that they're doing.
Mm.
And a lot of companies are not willing to do so. And that's why a lot of people are quitting, which is why a lot of people are hiring now. Because even now it's hard to find a job. And that's another thing that the politicians are promising is more jobs.
Yeah,
but the issue with the jobs is some people are now working 2, 3, maybe even 4 jobs to afford rent, to afford education, and it's hard. So people are asking for better wages, and when these companies don't comply, they leave to try to find better. Even people are doing Uber, they're driving in their cars, they're picking up packages, which there's nothing wrong with that. You have to do what you need to do for yourself.
Mm.
But that's why there's so many now hiring signs, because those are probably those companies who are not willing to pay people their worth.
Okay.
Especially after COVID, everything just went downhill. Now it's like people are hiring people based on not merit and education and experience. It's based on who you know. Before it was based on who you know and your level of education, as well as experience. Even if you didn't have experience, if you just came out of college with like a master's degree, they're hiring you for that high paying job because you worked for it.
Okay.
Now it's like, oh, my friend is looking for a job. I'm putting them over here. Even if someone has better experience or a higher degree than them. So it's hard.
Okay. And then another thing that I was talking to, this one was different. I was talking to a girl called Chico.
Mm.
Chico came to the US as an 8-year-old.
Okay.
But she's lived here, so she speaks like you. She's just became American.
Mm.
But she was talking of like this one racist incident that she never forgot about. So do you have such, where you've gone
so
through
many.
Some shit? Either black on black, because you're not fully American, or white on black. Have you gone through such?
Okay, so with black on black, it's not necessarily racism, it's prejudice.
Yeah.
With those, it was just, you know, people saying that I wasn't black enough because I knew where I came from.
Mm.
Nothing... that was too discriminatory.
Not that booty scratcher shit.
No, I mean, there was one time in fifth grade, a boy called me a baby gorilla.
Oh, shit. Okay.
Yeah. Mm. So that hurt.
Yeah.
That hurt. I went home and I told my parents.
It was a black kid.
Yeah, it was an African-American kid. And okay. It's funny, me and him are very close now. We found out we had the same birthday, maybe like a week after that. Mm. But I told my dad. My dad told the principal, all the families and us came into the office, and he was reprimanded for it. Mm. Now, as far as white on black crime, yes, in the education system, I've experienced it, being stopped by cops, like for traffic. I've been stopped on the side of a highway.
Yeah. For what?
So I was driving from class.
DWB, driving while black.
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Okay. I was driving from class, and there was a cop that was driving behind me.
Mm.
So he goes in front of me. So I'm still driving, minding my business.
Mm. Then you see the lights.
He stops, goes back behind me, and then puts on his lights and said that I was tailgating him.
Wow. And tailgating is?
Tailgating is driving too close to someone.
Okay.
So let's say if they were to press their brakes and you're too close, that's a collision. Mm. And it would be your fault because you're the one who hit them.
Yeah. So tailgating is called driving in Kenya.
I know.
Yeah.
No matter if it's a truck, if it's a motorcycle, everyone.
Mm.
So here, there's serious consequences for that.
Yeah.
So when he stopped me, it was on the side of a highway, so I was trying to keep going until I got to at least a gas station, and he kept coming in closer to me as if, you know, he was being really aggressive. So I stopped on the side of the highway. He told me to get out of the car, and I refused because I'm like, we are on the side of the highway. I'm not coming out. It's too dangerous. So he gave me a ticket. I went to court. I fought it. I did not win.
Oh, okay.
But it was just the sense of I was in danger because I was on the side of the highway. And he stopped me, and it wasn't that light outside either. Like, the sun was going down. So I was very nervous. I wasn't that close to home. Maybe like 40 minutes.
Yeah.
But there's other instances. I was just at a store purchasing a deodorant.
Yeah.
But this one, it was from an Indian. That's where the racism came from.
Yeah.
So they have them locked. So anytime there's anything locked in a store, that's because it's high theft in that area.
Yeah.
So, you know, I asked someone to help me, and, you know, they came. Usually they'll unlock it, they'll give you whatever you want, and then you go for checkout.
Mm.
And the Indian guy took the deodorant. He said, are you ready to check out now? I said, yeah. I don't think I'm getting anything else. Grabbed the deodorant, walked to the cash register, and checked it out for me. And I asked him, I said, why did you just check this out for me? I could have done it myself. He's like, oh, well, I need to do this. And I'm like, where's the protocol? No one's ever had to do this for me before. I was just here last week. And the person gave me what I needed. And I went and did it myself. You're treating me like a child, and I'm a grown adult. And he was like, well, we have to do this. You know, just being really nasty. And it was very, it didn't make me feel good about myself because I don't steal, you know, I'm not a child. And I even told him, you do this with kids, not with adults. And I even left a review about that specific location, and it was it was a high-end store.
Which one was it?
Walmart.
Okay. Oh, shit, because Walmart, I know the bullshit where they, you check out yourself. Like, even, like today, I was with the K4, and I tried that shit because I was like, I need to do this shit, I need to learn this shit, so that if I ever decide to come live in America, at least I know how to. Yeah, so I was able to do that, and no one helped us. What I know is when you're leaving, they're going to check your receipt.
Yes.
And apart from that, like today they asked us, like, because we had a suitcase, they were like, is there anything inside that suitcase? I'm like, okay. But I understood.
Yeah, but people are stealing because they can't afford these things.
Yeah.
Inflation is literally affecting everyone. Like, middle class people are even being affected, and those are the people who might not have everything, but they have enough to sustain. So when you don't have a common ground with what's going on, people, their last resort is to take what they need. People are stealing diapers, baby formula, milk, eggs. These are essentials that people need. Water. These are essentials that people need to live and survive. And it's hard. But then on the other side of it, people who don't steal like myself end up dealing with certain consequences of other people's
actions. The stereotypes.
Yeah. But people sometimes are doing it for survival, and other times they're doing it to be jerks because they're being cheap and they don't want to use the money.
Okay. And that, I remember, like, I told you I have to keep doing this. So there's two terms you've used, reprimanded. So reprimanded, that's, you see, I mean, the way I'm saying it, like, yes. Like, that's one of those terms that you'll never hear, like, a Kenyan on a random Saturday. That day I was reprimanded, like, that's such an American term. And then there's another thing you've just said right now. We use that, the same word, but the way we pronounce it, let me not even try to pronounce it in English. The way you said Maji, you know what Maji is?
Water.
Yes.
Water.
Yes, that's how he says water.
Americans do not emphasize T's, D's. I'm trying to think what other letters.
Okay, so it's what?
They say water.
Water.
Like the T is silent.
Even when I try to water, it still comes out wrongly.
So I know when I'm talking to my people.
I'd rather say warriors.
I know when I'm talking to my people, and especially elders, I'm emphasizing everything. And being an artist, you have to emphasize diction. You have to use every syllable. I know that. But sometimes, you know, when you're speaking to your friends, it's easier.
Enough to do it the American way.
Yes.
Yeah. So there's that. But
reprimanded means punishment.
That one I knew. I think because I've heard it in Hollywood. So I've
the
had
movies.
That. But now to sit with someone and hear that term, like, I've had a lot of, like, English interviews, but that term, it's not something we use on a normal. Yes, you'll find a random Kenyan using it once in a while. Maybe someone who's been watching some Hollywood movies or has lived in America, but. It's not a British term, because Kenyan English is very British.
Yes, it's the correct English.
Yes, it's the
proper
original
English.
So literally, we don't speak American, as they say it. So, Kenyan music, what do you know? Who do you know? Who are you listening to?
Oh my goodness!
Apart from Mr. K4.
Oh my goodness, who I'm listening to? I was listening to K-Force. Shout out to K-Force.
Yeah.
My hands, your waist, Brandy Maina.
Brandy Maina, Vic West, and that was a good one.
Oh my goodness, who is that beautiful girl that I listen to?
Zania.
Yes.
Who?
Was it Zaina?
Zinia. Zinia Manase.
She sounds so beautiful and looks beautiful. There's another one though.
Karun?
No.
Jovial?
She's Kikuyu.
Nadia Mukami. She's a singer.
Yes, she had a song where she, like, if I was your girlfriend or something like that, or ex.
Nikita Kering.
Yes,
Nikita Kering. That's a Kalenjin name. It's not a Kikuyu. She's Kalenjin.
Someone lied to me, but shout out to her. Those are the people.
Yeah, she can sing.
Those are the people that I am listening to.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness, forgive me.
Okay. So how do you discover Kenyan music?
YouTube, like, or Instagram. YouTube.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I follow most of these people, so whenever they're posting new music, I'm listening to it just to hear how my peers are singing and what they're singing about. And you know, just. It for me, it's good to listen to other people, especially where you're from, to just see their journey. You know, as musicians and just creatives in general, we feel things different and we create so beautifully. We all have different visions, and we pour our hearts into our crafts. So it's always good to see people from Kenya doing what they need to do. I also listen to Bien. I love Sati Soul, you know, my Luya brothers.
Yeah,
so I listen to them as well. But I like listening to people back home because it makes a difference. All the African music that's being played here is mostly Nigerian and South African. And those are beautiful songs too, and beautiful people. But it hits different when you're listening to people your own country. Yeah, your roots, the 254. It's very different.
Yeah.
Because we've come a long way. Before it was only maybe a few people. But now there's just so many people doing what they need to do to represent.
Okay. And your parents, what are they listening to? Because I don't know what your parents' age range is, from what to what?
They're in their mid-60s.
Late 60s?
Mid.
Mid-60s. Oh, so mid-60s, they must have come from the era where Kenyans listened to a lot of Lingala.
Yes, my dad loves Franco, my mom loves Yondo Sister, the Mushrooms.
Oh, yeah, okay.
I know all of those songs, the old school songs.
Hakuna Matata, Kenya Inchi Nzuri. Okay.
Oh, Mama Idi. All those songs, I know all of them. My dad had the cassettes, especially the ones I used to flip the A and B sides, and we would just drive all over like different states and just listen to all of that music. But my mom, Yondo Sister, was her favorite girl, and I always listened to
Bazoo, her. There's that song
I love. Bazoo. It especially the album that she had in 1993, because I was born in 94. So the album she had in 1993, I know all of those videos, all of those songs, like from back to back. There's literally videos of me dancing to Yondo Sister, and I'm just a baby just shaking my hips.
Okay,
so all those old school
songs. You have how many siblings?
I only have one brother.
Younger, older?
Younger, I'm the oldest.
Okay, so you're both Americans, like fully American. Okay, so now you're doing music?
Yes, I am.
So you go by Lady Gendi?
No, just Gendi.
Just Gendi. Oh, okay. And this is like a short form of Kiba Gendi?
Yes, my last name.
Oh, your last name.
So it's an honor to who I am, where I come from. Mm. My father also has a very beautiful voice.
Yeah.
So I wanted to honor him in my name, just so when people know, when they hear Gendi, they know that comes from. He calls himself the OG Gendi when people, when he meets people, because that's his name. So it was an honor to him and my family, just as who we are. My grandparents were also very musical.
Yeah.
So it's just an honor and tribute to my people.
Okay. Mm. What's that noise? There's a noise in the background. I don't know if people can hear it. But no, we won't cut. I'm just asking.
Probably a weed whacker?
No, this is fucking lawnmower.
Oh yeah, they're mowing the lawn.
Okay. Because it's interesting. It's close to 7 p.m. and as you can see, there's still light.
Mm-hmm.
This is one of the most confusing things about America. Some, it's also good.
Like 8:30,
9 p.m. Because it's summertime. So the way the sun is rotating up until September, we have longer days with sun.
Shorter nights.
Yeah, shorter nights. Longer days, shorter nights.
For winter time, we have longer nights, shorter.
Mm. Yeah. So right now, the sun comes up at 6 going on 7 in the morning, and then it doesn't go down until about 8 or 9 in the evening. Mm. So that's why people love summer so much here.
Yeah. But you can also... Yeah, so as Gendi, have you released like any music on any DSP? Or you still...
Yes. No, I have released some music. More so R&B and Neo Soul on Apple Music and Audio Mac. So the project that I am currently working on will be my first Afrobeats project that I'm really proud of.
Yeah.
I went back to my roots, and what people don't know is that I've always sang in Swahili since I was a kid. The choirs that I was in school, I had a music director. His name was Mr. Labar. And I worked with him from the ages of 11 until 18, and he would always choose South African songs and songs in Swahili. So what he would do is the songs in Swahili, he'd bring me the sheet music. He was like, I know you read this, just bring it home so you and your dad can go through it, because I can read Swahili and I can sing it. So he was like, bring it home so you and your dad can translate it for me. I would record us talking and singing it and writing the syllables of each so we can teach my friends. Because my school was a mixture of all different cultures, whether it was white, Caribbean, Spanish. But I've always sing in Swahili, so it's always so easy for me. And I said I want to tap back into my roots as a young adult now, being more serious about music. Before, I would post songs and like remixes on SoundCloud and do covers of songs. I was in between school and work, but now that I've achieved a lot of success in those realms, I really wanted to take my music seriously and get back to my roots and honor my people.
Okay. So you've said like people can find your music, it's already out?
Yes, Apple Music, Spotify, Audio Mac.
Okay.
I have a lot of videos on YouTube. Gendi the Official,
Oh.
So.
Yeah, and then there's another song that people need to know. Like I talked about this. It's called Sherehe. You did the chorus with Mr. K4. So people need to look out for that. That's some shit. That song is really actually, good. Like we're listening to it while like driving to DC.
Yes. So
shit.
So that's an unreleased song. It hasn't been put out yet.
Yeah, that's why I'm starting to hype it.
No, it'll definitely be put out as a single, Nishere.
Yeah.
It'll definitely be put out as a single.
Mm.
I'll probably put it on the project as a bonus. You know, people do remixes to their projects or a deluxe.
Mm.
Probably put it on the deluxe. But it is a good vibe song. I'm excited that
it's a really good vibe song. Yeah, yeah. And I also have to ask you about Kenyan politics. Who do you know? Like who's the president of Kenya right now?
I know Ruto, okay. President Ruto.
Yes.
So
you say Ruto.
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 Yeah, I know him.
Now, at least right now, I can also, the same way I couldn't say water, you can't say Ruto. Try again.
Oh, no, I can say it.
Say it.
It just won't sound right.
No, it just won't sound right. My accent is so American. Ruto.
You see, not Ruto. It's Ruto.
The tea is too strong.
Yeah. What about Uhuru?
Like I said, I've heard of him, but yes.
How do you say the name Uhuru? You say it.
Oh, no. I'm not embarrassing myself.
No, try. We see.
How? Say it again.
Uhuru.
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 Uhuru? No, Uhuru.
Uhuru.
Yes, you've tried. No, at least. I think it was the sound.
Yeah, that's.
Kibaki?
Kibaki, yeah, I've heard of him.
Kibaki?
Kibaki.
Okay, you've tried. Ruto is the one that. Ruto is like. You saying Ruto is like me saying
I,
water.
I can't.
We are all still trying to figure out that.
I hope he doesn't cancel me.
No. They can't cancel me. They have to understand. It's like. I think accents are interesting. Because like where you're born ends up determining how you talk.
Absolutely.
Kids right now are different.
Oh yeah.
Like I feel like
they know everything.
Yeah. Like even my kid is in Africa, but if she showed up here, it would take her like a month to adjust. Because I see like my kid joking around with my niece and they try the American accent and I'm there like I can never do this shit. But for them, since they've been small, they've been able to hear that accent.
Yeah.
When we were kids, I remember like my kindergarten teacher used to call milk miyok. So that's where I'm coming from. Miyok. Milk was miyok. Mm-hmm. How the fuck did the O? Where the
My
fuck did the O come from?
My nieces and nephews say it like that.
Yeah, they say miyok. You see, so yeah. But now you have the interesting coincidences where, for example, in Britain, they say April.
Mm-hmm.
But in America, they say?
April.
Kikuyus call it?
I don't know what they
April.
Call it. Oh, do I call it April also?
Yeah. Okay. So that's interesting. So that happens. But language is so interesting.
Yeah.
The fact that, and then this is the interesting thing. When an African, when a foreigner fucks up with African languages, and I'm not talking about you, I'm talking about like the whites. Africans will be there like, But when we come to this side and we fuck up the English, they're like, I don't know. Maybe that also says a lot about Africa. Where we accept people as they are, like you've tried.
We accept other people. For me, as a Kenyan American, if I mess up on something, this is something you should know.
Yeah, like, they've told you that. Oh, shit.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, sorry.
Especially as a kid. And that's why when we were talking about identity crisis, me having friends who are from different parts of the diaspora went through those same things. Mm. When family members or trusted family friends are around you and you're trying to speak your language and learn and they
like they're condescending,
not even condescending, but they put you down when you don't say something correctly. It discourages you from even trying again because you're embarrassed. You're a kid and there's adults bullying you for not being able to speak a language that you're trying to learn.
Yeah because I've also learned like a lot of stuff the American culture. Like one of the things we don't do in Kenya is we don't hold doors for people. But here, you know, you do it automatically. Because Kenya, it's America has the mind your business shit.
Yes.
But
depending on the region.
Yes. So now if you're going to Walmart, someone will hold the door for you. Chipotle, whatever. Okay, Walmart, it's automatic, but I'm just like, let's say Chipotle or whatever. Starbucks. Someone is holding the door for you. Kenya, if I'm going to Java, fuck you. The door is going to hit you. Like, I'm going to spend my money here. I don't care how you come in. So you have that. And so I think it's a cultural thing.
Yes.
And then maybe when you're a kid, you don't know how to hit back. Because if I could say, Maji, the way you say it, let me just use Maji, and someone talks shit, I'd be like, go bring me, say it the right way. You know, so it's bullshit. Mm. So, but I understand. Yeah. But yeah, so this is Gendy. Look out for her music.
Yes.
Look out for a single coming out soon.
Very soon.
Mr. K4 featuring Gendy. It's called Sherehe. I'm telling you about it. That song is fire.
But also, there's another single that's coming out before that called Fighting Through.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Is the two of you still?
No, it's just me.
It's just you. Okay. It's just okay. Me. Okay. Fighting Through. What is it about?
Fighting through life.
Oh, okay.
Fighting through your struggles and persevering through it all.
Yeah.
I'm making sure this time around, I was telling a friend, I said before, you know, R&B music is cool and I always had that because that's what I grew up around outside of Lingala and other genres of music. But before when I first started music, R&B was my thing. So I would be so immersed in, you know, the sad girl era and I'm not sad anymore, you know, growing pains. So with growing pains, I want to put that in my music in a more positive light, in a different perspective than, oh, why is it me? And now just be, okay, well, it is me, and this is how I'm getting through it.
Yeah, okay.
Because music transcends through all, and you're supposed to relay messages based on the times that you're in. So for me, I want to give people love and give people hope, because that's what I want for myself.
Okay.
So the things that I want for myself, I give it to people in music, which is love, light, and new perspective on life.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense. Yeah. And then also that's another thing about music. You know, music is also like therapy.
Oh yes, absolutely. Yeah.
So music gives you a chance to heal.
Absolutely. Like that's why it's very important to put out music that will stand the test of time.
Yeah.
Because you never know who needs that message.
Mm.
You never know who might need a pick-me-up after going through a really rough day. So I'm praying when Fighting Through comes out that it helps people.
Yeah. Mm. So are you a student of human history? Because when I look at humanity, like some of the things that I always ask myself how they happened is, how did we come up with music? How did we know that we could manipulate sound to make ourselves happy, sad? How do we come up with that? You know, like right now, music is everywhere. Yeah. So we just assume. But you know, some human had to start singing. They had to be like, ah, then people are like, that sounds good. Do it again.
But even people started banging on drums just to express their feelings. And that's back home. People are banging on pans. People are just shouting in the sky, just expressing their feelings. So I'm a nerd for sure. You can ask anyone around me. I love reading.
Yeah.
Actually, when my brother and I were growing up, my dad got us a pocket dictionary and a pocket thesaurus, which is why I'm using all of these extravagant American words. But I love history. I love learning why certain things happened, how things have happened, why they were created, who created it.
Yeah.
Because I always say you never know where you're going if you don't know where you're from.
Yeah.
So I like learning everything. Sometimes knowing too much can be a lot. Help.
Yeah, yeah.
But I do think it's important to know.
So what do you find fascinating? Because to me it's music. Another thing is salt. Those two. Because salt, I'm always like, how the fuck did you discover that this one thing will make all food taste better? Like, what the hell is going on here? Have you ever had like such a thing where you're like, so with even salt, like sometimes I ask myself, does salt make food taste better, or does it make our tongues be able to taste the food? So the food tasted like that before. You just needed the salt to make you. It's some nerd shit.
It is. I've never thought about it like that. I've always loved to know about the human mind and human behaviors.
Yeah.
Why people are the way they are and what did they go through for them to act like this. So that's why I studied psychology.
Oh, okay.
So I'm always observing people since I was young. I'd be quiet. I would hear certain things, which is why I'm pretty sure some of my parents were speaking in their native, in our native tongues and not teaching me because I was very nosy.
Yeah.
So if they were talking back home about some things, they probably didn't want me to repeat it around anyone else.
That's
what I'm assuming. But I've always loved to learn about the human mind. With music,
Yeah.
I never really had a specific favorite genre. I just liked when music made me feel something.
Mm.
Like if I was feeling happy, if I was feeling sad, if I was feeling excited, just from the beat itself or what they were saying or the chants, like as long as the music was full of emotion and full of power, I've always liked it. So I've always wondered, what are people doing to make the music sound like this? And then when I started making my own and seeing people's reactions to it, I finally understood.
Yeah.
When you're putting your all and you're not holding back and just pouring yourself into it, it transcends. That's why I say it's very important for artists and just creatives in general to be mindful of the gifts that they're sharing, because God has blessed us with something that a lot of people wish they can have, and only few can be very successful about it, which is by I'm being very, very intentional with the music that I'm putting out.
Okay, but yeah, thank you. And yeah, let's continue continue doing your thing.
Thank you.
And also let's continue to be nerds.
Yes.
Like, I think nerds run the world.
They do.
I feel like the era of the whatever.
It's cool to be smart.
Yeah, yeah.
It's cool to be smart. Don't let anyone tell you that, oh, you're a nerd, you're not cool.
I have to ask that. Like, sorry, we keep stopping and
it's
then continue.
Okay.
That's Ikonini. So, how is it here? Because when we are kids in Kenya, we want to be doctors, lawyers, engineers. You know, that's what we want to be.
Mm-hmm.
We rarely want to be rappers or footballers.
Mm.
How is it? Like, what sort of school did you go to? Was it a predominantly black American or predominantly white? Your school was?
Okay, so when I lived in New Jersey, I went to a Catholic school, so it was predominantly white and Asian.
Okay.
So
those kids wanted to be what when they grew
doctors,
up?
Doctors, lawyers, engineers. But I left that school when I was 8 years old, and then we moved to Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
When I moved to Pennsylvania, it was multicultural because it's people coming from New York, New Jersey, all these inner cities, and coming up into a suburb.
Yeah.
What
did they want to be?
Everybody wanted to be everything. Like most of the people that I graduated with are doctors, they're lawyers, engineers, and even those people who are those things also are DJs. Some of them are comedians who have been on TV. Some of them have their own podcast. And these are people I was in high honors and
So I guess it's
classes with. Yeah,
it's cool to be smart in America. Because I thought I'd hear that they all wanted to be rappers, basketballers, and all that bullshit.
There were some who did want to be basketball players.
There's nothing wrong with that.
No, there's nothing wrong with it, because in America there's such a high market for people. If you're really good, you get paid very well.
But
just in anything that you get paid very well for, you have to sacrifice a lot to be in.
And you have to
positions.
Be the best of the best. Not
you
all
have
of
to
us.
That, like out
of a thousand
top,
people, it's only
5%. If you're in the 6%, you're out of there. That comes with education, that comes with music, that comes with sports. It's very competitive. So you have to really hone in those skills when you're young.
Yeah.
And for me, even when I was young, I always knew I was going to be a singer.
Yeah.
And I was even telling one of my best friends, I said, I knew when I was 8 I was going to be a singer, but I knew it wasn't going to really happen for me how I wanted it to until I was 30.
Okay.
And I knew that because I'm like, well, I'm Kenyan. I got to go to school. I got to get these degrees. You know, that way I have those.
Yeah.
Not even just in case, but no one can take those away from me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I knew, I said, okay, I'm just going to do what I can. I'm going to practice. And then when I have everything that I need for myself, I'm going to push through head on.
You went to which university?
It's called East Stroudsburg University.
Yeah.
It's in Pennsylvania. So I got my bachelor's degree in psychology and then my master's degree in management and leadership, and I focused
same
on
university.
And I focused on public administration, so I learned a lot about policies that they do in DC.
So that was the interesting thing when you said that you liked studying human behavior. I was like, then you need to like spend some time at the Kenyan parliament and just study these motherfuckers and see why are they just corrupt, like just fucking corrupt mouth. Like,
but being around Kenyans in general and being around the older generation of Kenyans is why I really wanted to study human behavior, because there were a lot of ignorant things people would be saying. And of course, being a nosy kid, I'm listening to these conversations and I'm like, I wonder why you're thinking like that, and why and what happened in your life for you to be this way.
This stupid.
Not even stupid, but just ignorant and wrong about certain things.
Yeah.
And that's why I said, because I was so confident and I had parents who loved me, if someone would disrespect me in a sense of, oh, you should be doing this and you should be doing that.
Yeah.
I said, well, at least I can become president.
Yeah.
I'm like, you're not, like, I had comebacks.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm like, at least I could become president here if I wanted to. Mm. Or I would say, well, at least, you know, I'm a U.S. citizen. Like, I was one of those kids.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
At least I'm not a booty scratcher.
Yeah. No, I mean, kids were calling me that too, though.
Shit. Those are white kids.
No, not just kids. White kids.
Oh, shit.
Black kids.
They will call me African. Here. I've been scratching my booty here.
They don't care. They see the last name. They're like, it's not Williams or Johnson or.
Yeah. And then now we need to have the investigation. Who was that African who scratched his booty?
That made it bad for the rest of us.
Yeah. Then they go back. They find it's blah, blah, blah.
Or they'll tell you, oh, go back to your country. So I always said, at least I know where I'm going. Where are you going?
Yeah, okay.
I'm like, when they kick all of us out from here, where are you going to go?
Mm.
That's why everyone's going home to get their citizenships in Ghana.
Yeah.
No, but it's all love. It's all love. But that's how it was like as a kid and just being in those environments where, as I'm saying, the ignorance. It's like, why are kids thinking like that? Where are they getting that from? Where are they hearing it from? Where is that influence coming from? Because it hurts everyone. You know what I mean? It doesn't just hurt people like me who have a sense, not even have a sense, know where they're from, but it hurts people who don't necessarily have that sense, and maybe the people that they're around are struggling with the fact that they don't know where they're from, because people carry trauma from generations. If you don't heal from something, it goes on to the next generation, and then we all just become angry. So what I'm glad about these specific generations, mine and the one younger than me, we've all come together and we're like, we all need to heal, because we don't need kids coming out as confused as we once were. Like, we're working through all of those things.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you see parents and grandparents just being so angry about things that can change if everyone comes together. So, yeah, that camaraderie, that unity.
Yeah.
That working together to be better, because we've seen what has happened in this life and in this world, that, you know, we're the new adults and we don't like it. The things that we were promised are all deteriorating.
Yeah.
Nothing is real. After COVID, we've all realized that everything that has been said to us has been a lie. So we are looking for a new normal and just trying to do the best that we can in utilizing our gifts.
Yeah.
I think even COVID showed people that now is the time to utilize your gifts. Just don't go to school to get a career for money. Go to school for something you're passionate about, because when you utilize your gifts, God makes way.
And the way they say that, when you do that, you'll never work a day in your life.
No.
Because every day you're happy to do whatever you're doing.
Exactly.
So yeah, that's like, I think we're going to finish on that note. So, bila musemaga kama kawaida, like, subscribe. Hit the notification button, tell a friend, tukimalizia, tukisema, ekonene.
Ekonene.